Ich habe es am heard about Juana. Yesterday, when I was here attending another committee, and today again. And maybe we need to start, although it's late, but we need to start talking about that at the end.
Maybe let's discuss that, me and you, outside this meeting, because it's our responsibility. Honorable Chetty?
Thank you, Chair. I've just received an SMS from Honorable George. He's suffering from the same syndrome that the Honorable George and the Chair suffered from yesterday. His flight was delayed, so he'll be here a bit late.
So he's got no problem?
Yeah. SAA again. Delayed flight.
Okay. Honourable members, before us today is the powers, privileges and immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Bill. It's the second tabling of this bill in this committee. We would have dealt with it October last year. This is a deal that regulates ourselves as a legislature. I'll tell you what my problem is. In the evolution of humankind, there is an era they called barbarism. That is an era of lawlessness where everybody regulated themselves. And that is my predicament with this particular legislation, where we have to regulate ourselves to make out the law that is supposed to govern us. Not that there's anything wrong in the current policy environment, but it's problematic from where I'm sitting. I did not echo this before, but one other thing I would have thought is that we needed to comprehensively deal with this particular legislation, further develop it if necessary. But because of time pressures, we are rising as a parliament in 3-4 weeks' time. We do not have time, but perhaps we need to note those as part of our records that it is our view. It is my view, actually. It is my view that this particular legislation needs to be taken further developed. There's a lot of shortcomings in as far as I'm concerned. There's areas that we need to regulate which we're not regulating with this amendment still, in my view. But I may not put them forward now because of the reasons I've just stated. I'm now then going to invite Ashley to take us through the submissions that we would have received on this particular bill. My records that is received comments from two provinces, that's Mpumalanga and Western Cape. To take us through those and perhaps responses to those with the assistance of the legal office from Parliament. Over to you then.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Honourable Members. I'm just going to do an overview, a brief summary of the submissions that we received, and then I'm going to hand over to Ms. Kassan, who is the Parliamentary Legal Advisor, to respond on those submissions. We're going to be talking to this document. It's the summary table that was provided to members. Just to recap a bit, on the 31st of October, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor briefed the committee on this. I'll use the acronym PIPLA because it's a very long name of the bill. And the main objects of this bill is to provide that a member of Parliament or of a provincial legislature may not be arrested and removed from House proceedings or committee meetings for creating or taking part in a disturbance. To provide that a provincial legislature may appoint either a standing committee or an ad hoc committee to deal with disciplinary matters against members, and to provide that the Speaker of a provincial legislature exercises control and authority over the precincts of the legislature on behalf of that legislature. The Select Committee then advertised the bill on electronic platforms of Parliament on the 26th of October 2018 and then extended the deadline to the 9th of November 2018. The committee further directed correspondence to the nine legislatures on the 14th of November 2018. In response to these advertisements, we received two submissions, one from Mpumalanga Provincial Legislation, one from the Western Cape Provincial Parliament. So in terms of the recommendations, the Mpumalanga Provincial Legislature, in relation to the preamble of the bill, proposed to include a reference to Section 1171B of the Constitution in the second paragraph of the preamble to the bill, claiming that it will confirm the intention of the bill to also be applicable to provincial legislatures insofar as the immunities provided for in the sections are absolute. So the recommended paragraph in the reading would be, and bearing in mind that the immunities provided in sections 58.1b, 71.1b and 1171b of the Constitution are absolute. Actually, I'm just going to go on. So that was the first proposal from Mpumalanga. Then moving on to the Western Cape Provincial Parliament, they really just raised a technical amendment to the bill, and they are proposing that Clause 9C be amended to read as follows: by the addition of the subsection 2 of the following subsection, for the purposes of Section 12, to a provincial legislature may either appoint a standing committee or, as and when the need arises, an ad hoc committee. So basically, they're proposing that the word appoint be used in respect of both standing committees and ad hoc committees, and adding the expression as and when the need arises, they claim, makes it clear that a provincial legislature may not always have a standing committee or ad hoc committees tasked with disciplinary matters, but that the provincial legislature may appoint an ad hoc committee as and when the need arises. I'm now going to hand over to the parliamentary legal advisor just to respond to the submissions, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. With regard to the first comment received from the Mpumalanga Provincial Legislature, I just want you to look at page 2 while I respond to it. What they're basically saying, like Anthea mentioned, page 2 of the bill, Chairperson, is that if you look at the preamble there, the first paragraph speaks about the findings of the Constitutional Court, which focuses on Section 58 and 71 of the Constitution. And then the second paragraph also refers to only those two sections, and it speaks about the immunities. What we are proposing is that that second paragraph also refers to Section 117 of the Constitution, which deals with the privilege in provincial legislatures. Now, I'm going to just start off by explaining what the purpose of a preamble is. As was said at the last meeting, the reason why a preamble was included into this bill was because this bill has been drafted to address a constitutional court judgment. In the constitutional court judgment of Democratic Alliance versus the Speaker of the NA. Now, a preamble sets out the background to the law, the legal basis of an act, and the reasons for its adoption. It is not a formal requirement that laws contain a preamble, because they merely set out the background for why a particular law is being passed. Now, this amendment bill that you have before you, like I said earlier, was drafted to address that particular Concord judgment. Usually, amendment bills do not contain preambles. You will mostly find them in principal acts. But this is an amendment bill, and we thought it necessary to include a preamble here to focus on the findings of that constitutional court judgment. And there are recent examples where amendment bills do contain preambles. One such example is the recent Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act of 2015. So the reason we included the amendment bill, the preamble in this amendment bill, is because it was highlighting the key findings of that particular case. Now, that case, the judgment dealt exclusively with Section 58 and 71 of the Constitution. These are the provisions that relate to privilege in the NA and the NCOP respectively. The judgment did not refer and did not analyze and did not discuss Section 117 of the Constitution, which deals with the privilege and immunities in a provincial legislature. Hence, the preamble only focused on Section 58 and Section 71. I also want to just stress that any preamble that's found in an amendment act, it doesn't form part of the principal act. So if this act is passed, this preamble will only remain in this amendment bill. It won't form part of the principal act. The fact that we do not refer to Section 117 in the preamble doesn't mean that the bill doesn't refer to Section 117 in relation to provincial legislatures. If you look on page 4 of your bill, and if you look at clause 9, this is an amendment to Section 28 of the Act. Now, 28 of the Act will tell you that the terms used in relation to Parliament and the NCOP, when used in relation to provincial legislatures, must mean a certain thing. So if they say in the body of the whole Act, if it says Speaker, when it will be the Speaker of Parliament, but when you apply those provisions to provincial legislatures, it will mean Speaker of the provincial legislature. So in this bill, we did refer to Section 117 in the sense that when you're applying the definition of disturbance in relation to a provincial legislature, then any act that's committed, that then the word disturbance must be construed as excluding any act that's contemplated in 117 of the Constitution. So what I'm saying is that Section 28 then of the Act does stipulate how certain terms in the Act must be construed. Hence, Clause 9 of the Bill does indicate how the word disturbance must be interpreted in relation to the provincial legislature, and reference then is made to Section 117 of the Constitution. We therefore submit that it is not really necessary to include reference to Section 117 in that second paragraph of the preamble. If I can move on to the second submission that we received, which is from the Western Cape Provincial Parliament. Again, we're looking at that particular clause on page 4, which is clause 9 of your bill. I just want to sketch the background as to why this particular clause was inserted in the bill. When we had initially in the drafting phase invited comment from the provincial legislatures, we had received a comment from the Western Cape to say that often Western smaller legislatures, it's not always practical for them to have a standing committee dealing with the disciplinary issues that they need to deal with in terms of Section 12 of the Act. And in order to avoid conflicts of interest, the membership of that committee often has to change because of the smaller number of members. They therefore had suggested that the term that provincial legislatures have the option to either appoint an ad hoc committee to deal with disciplinary matters on a case-by-case analysis. And in the third column of that table, they give their reasons for why they particularly saying that this wording must change in a certain way. But they do stress it's just a technical amendment that they're proposing. Now, with regard to the recommendation made that they use the word appoint for both a standing committee as well as an ad hoc committee, in other words, the crux of what they're saying is that don't say appoint a standing committee and establish an ad hoc committee. They are proposing that you rather say appoint a standing committee and an ad hoc committee. But when I looked at the rules, and I'm talking about looking at the NA rules as well as the NCOP rules as well as the Western Cape Legislature rules, when referring to ad hoc committees, the word establish is used because ad hoc committees don't exist. They need to be created to perform a specific task. So, for example, the NA rule 253 states an ad hoc committee may be established and the members get appointed. Whereas if you have a standing committee, you will see the rules are crafted in a way that says there is a standing committee on finance. So the rules already establish them. With ad hoc committees, they are established via a resolution of a house or by the speaker. Similarly, the NCOP rule also provides that an ad hoc committee may be established. And then Rule 114 of the Western Cape Legislature's rules also says an ad hoc committee is established by resolution of the House or by the Speaker. So it is a different process. a decision is made, and then the House or the Speaker establishes an ad hoc committee, and members to that committee are then appointed. So I want to submit that it's correct to say that ad hoc committees is established and a standing committee is appointed. They also propose that one has to include the word as and when the need arises. But when I looked at the definition of ad hoc means just that. It's being created on an ad hoc basis because the need is created. So I want to say as and when the need arises would be a bit superfluous, and one doesn't need to add that clause there. With regard to the comment that the word choose to be deleted as it's redundant, I agree it may be redundant, but to remove it will also be a technical amendment in nature. There is no harm in retaining the words choose to, as it does not make the sentence unreadable or ambiguous. So these are our views on the amendments that we proposed amendments that we received.
Honourable members, there you are. I'm in your heads. Welcome, George. Welcome, Casey.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies for being slightly late. Honourable Chetty indicated that he did inform you that I am going to be slightly late. I'm indebted to him, but my apologies again.
Thank you very much. I do confirm that he did go on record submitting your apology. Dr. Matima? Just before you speak, Doctor, may I also state for the record that I also took an initiative as the chairperson of the Select Committee. It's not an initiative as such. Took it upon myself that I personally write to the provincial legislatures, being a Select Committee of the NCOP that owes its own being to the provincial legislatures, over and above the national print or press calling for public comments. I thought we needed to give them special attention, because this legislature has got a big impact on them, this piece of legislation. Thank you, Doctor.
Chairperson, you have correctly read my mind. I just wanted to know the implication of other provinces not commenting. So it's not out of lack of information. You've given them the information. But I would like to know the implication. If only two provinces comment, what does it mean for this piece of legislation? If only two out of nine. Thank you.
Another question? None. Do you want to respond, ma'am?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. This is a Section 75 bill, Honourable Members. So this is not a bill where we need provincial mandates the way you would in terms of a Section 76 bill. On a 76 bill, you would send the bill to the provinces. The provinces must hold its own public participation process. We then get negotiating mandates, and then that process unfolds. In this instance, this is a Section 75 bill, where the legislature, as in Parliament, does have an obligation to invite public participation, which was done in the Portfolio Committee via adverts, as well as in this committee. Even in the Portfolio Committee, as part of the drafting process, me and my colleague that were responsible for the drafting had sent personal emails to the provinces, and where we had received input, we included it into the bill. As the chairperson has said, over and above the call for comment from the public at large, a letter was sent to every single provincial legislature to also send their comments. I think that what the Select Committee has done is more than enough, but the fact that it's a 75 bill, provinces are not forced to comment. It's not like a 76 bill where mandates must reach us.
Another question or comment, Honourable Members? Honourable Mikalakis?
Chairperson, I think we should just thank you for taking the initiative. I know that it's not a Section 76 bill, but it does affect the provinces, and I do think that if more chairpersons could do things like that, it would. It's a bit late in the term for sucking up, but if more chairpersons could take initiative like that, it would actually make a big difference, because we've seen that the provinces have actually, some of them at least, have an input to make. Chairperson, I just need clarity. I completely understand the position of Mpumalanga, and I absolutely agree with Ms. Kasson on that. Just clarity on the Western Cape submission. Sorry for asking you to clarify it again. But if I understand correctly, it's also a matter of, it's not going to be the end of the world for you if the amendment is adopted, or is it quite important for you that this bill stays the way that it is, and why? Because from my view, I mean, it's probably not going to be the end of the world whether it gets amended in that way or not. It's probably going to in my opinion, make it a bit more nuanced in terms of what they, or their motivation. But I just need to know what the implication for you would be if this amendment passed. It's just a technical one. So as far as I'm concerned, it would not turn over the apple cart. Just sorry to ask you to just repeat that again, but I just need some clarity from your side on that.
Honourable Member, I don't agree that the word standing appoint must be used for both the Standing Committee and an Ad Hoc Committee. I do think that the words that we currently have in the bill, appoint a Standing Committee and establish a Standing Committee, is correct. So I don't think that wording needs to change. I also don't agree with the fact that as and when the need arises, takes the bill any further. In fact, it will make the wording a little bit superfluous, because ad hoc means exactly that. It's implied in the term ad hoc that it adds. The words choose to appoint, I agree, choose to either appoint or establish is redundant, but the fact that we can retain it doesn't make the sentence unreadable. Should, however, the committee feel that the amendments from the Western Cape should be given effect to, what that would mean is that these proposals must then be passed by this committee and the House, the NCOP. It will then, the bill will then go back to the NA. And in the NA, there was an ad hoc committee that was established for this particular purpose of developing this bill. We are also at a time when the term rises on the 20th of March. So should proposals now be made, or proposed amendments now be made, it could mean that this bill lapses if it's not being dealt with in the NA after this committee sends proposal. And if it does lapse in the new parliament, the bill will need to be revived and a new NA committee established. So that's the process issue that we face.
Chairperson, just to follow up on that, thank you very much. Chairperson, ordinarily, if it was a terrible bill, it would have been the best thing on earth to delay it so that it can be looked at again in the next parliament. I don't have any objection with this bill. I think delaying it unnecessarily would actually cost the taxpayer extra money. I have heard some submissions by members both from the NA and rumors from the NCOP side that certain aspects might need to be added at some stage and so forth. There's nothing that prevents this parliament, when the next parliament is formed, from bringing an amendment and actually adding what they at that stage see fit to be added. But at this stage, Chairperson, I honestly think that what we have before us is a good bill, and for us to unnecessarily delay it and costing the taxpayer unnecessary extra expenses would not serve any purpose. So before my colleagues are finished, I actually want to go as far as to say that at this stage, we on this side are fairly happy with the bill, and we are happy to pass it even without those amendments. Thank you.
So you are now formally making a motion to move for the adoption?
Yes.
Is that my reading? Okay. Honourable members, can I invite a seconder?
Thank you, Chair. I second that.
Honourable Kudwe second.
He's got a mandate from the Western Cape.
Do we have any objection? None. I therefore declare the bill duly agreed to by this committee. Thank you very much. So that then get my table. Oh, the report. Sorry. Can I quickly allow Kesh to take us through the report that whose gist will go into the report that will be taken into the House for concurrence on this bill?
Members, if we can just turn to the report that's included in the draft report that's included in the FAQ. Just two things I want to point out. In the first paragraph, the italicized wording at the end, so it will be reported that it has agreed to the bill without proposing further amendments. So the first italicized wording will fall away, and then number one will fall away completely, and number two will become number one as the background to the bill. And then I believe number four will be unanimous adoption of the bill.
So can I invite a mover for the adoption of the report? Honourable Mteto?
Chairperson, I move the adoption of the report.
Honourable Mteto moves. Can I invite a seconder? Into the record, please, Mr. McGillicuddy.
Chairperson, I will second Honourable Mteto.
That's very progressive on the eve of elections.
Chairperson, you know me like that, but just for the record also, can I just add that, again, the DA is here to pass good legislation from the ANC. It doesn't happen every day that they bring good legislation, and you have the excellent Ms. Kassan to thank for that.
I will take the first part of your comment, the latter part I won't take, spoiling the party. I take it the report is agreed to unanimously as well. Thank you very much. Honourable members, the meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairperson, we had to adopt that intervention report from COPTA. Yeah, in 10 minutes time, ne? In 10 minutes time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get away from me and I have to do that.
Thank you.